him and follow what he wants me to do? Am I going to choose another way? Here's the thing. You get to choose whether you actively follow or reject God's plan. But you don't get to choose the benefits or the consequences. Nothing matters more than where Christ is going to be in your life. And in the Bible, there's a single verse that you can use as a compass to claim your future. It's found, we read it together a moment ago, but it's found in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. It's one of the most challenging verses I can see in the Bible. And it simply says this: "For David, after he had served his generation by the will of God, fell asleep." Now, what does that say? That says David, who lived his life to serve those around him, to make a difference in the world for the Lord, after he had done everything God planned for him to do, came to the conclusion of his life. He lived a life determined to honor God. In a single verse, the Bible tells us everything we need to know about David. And God is calling you to follow David's example, to make every day count. And right now is the time when you need to decide that. You know, the Bible talks about David and it says he served his generation. And sometimes when you're standing at the edge of, at the end of high school and at the verge of what comes next, serving your generation seems like a really big thing to do. Serving your generation means this is something that I've got to do for years and years and years yet to come. And here's the thing. At this point in your life, the years ahead seem unlimited. You think, man, I've got a lifetime to do whatever I want to do. I've got a lifetime to decide how to live my life. So maybe right now is a time when I can kind of drift away from my walk with God. Maybe this is one of those times when I can sow my wild oats. Maybe this is one of those times when I can put God aside for a little while and do what I want to. But the truth is, none of us really know how much time is given to us. Nobody knows the quantity of time that's given to us. What we do know is this: while I cannot control the number of my days, I can control the quality of my faith. I can't think of anything that either one of you could do that would be more important than to say to yourself and to the Lord at this point, you know what? I'm going to be serious about this thing. I'm going to be serious about my walk with you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to depend upon you. I'm going to let you guide the way. I want to make the most of my life. That's the choice David made, and because he did, God did incredible things through him. So on this special day, I want to tell you how you can live like David. Okay, are you ready? The first thing is this: David had a big purpose. David had a big purpose for his life. Nothing makes you more alive than recognizing this: I am meant for big things. I am meant to accomplish things with my life. I'm not meant to be here and be gone and nothing ever really happened during the years I was here. It is an amazing discovery when you realize the God of creation has a personal plan for your life. We read Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "I know the plans I have, says the Lord." God has a plan for your life. A personal and specific plan for you. And if you listen to him, and if you trust him, and if you follow him, you'll see what it's like to let God fulfill his plan for your life. Yet so many people end up settling for less. Rather than claiming and following God's plan, they just kind of wander aimlessly through. They never really experience what it means to say, I'm depending on the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord lead the way. I'm going to trust him in everything that I do. Instead, so many people just kind of find their way working through. It's not that they reject the Lord. It's just that they don't ever really let that be a driving force in their life. They have no clue what it means to walk by faith. This is how C.S. Lewis described it one time. He said, God created us to sail the mighty oceans. He created us to see things we never imagined. He created us to find and discover God's great plan for our life. But he said instead of making their way to the sea, most people are satisfied to pick up a stick and stir around in a mud puddle. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. Let me tell you a secret. You are designed to live for something bigger than yourself. David accomplished big things in his life. He defeated Goliath. He became a king. He turned little Jerusalem into the capital of an empire. Even today, Israelis revere David as the greatest ruler their nation has ever known. And in spite of all of those things that he accomplished, none of those were the driving force in his life. The driving force was simply this. It was to serve God. David defined his life by obedience to the Lord. And he never found anything or anyone that was as important as fulfilling God's dynamic plan for his life. Didn't matter if the crowds were chanting his name and crying out, as long as he was serving the Lord. It didn't matter if everybody else around him deserted him and left him behind, as long as he was serving the Lord. David defined himself as God's servant, and so should you. David shows you how to live as a servant of Christ. What do you have to do? Well, let me give you two things, real quick, real easy. The first one is this. You offer him your trust. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean his life was perfect. It doesn't mean he did not have failures in his life. But it does mean this. It means he was defined by his relationship with his Savior. He was defined by his work with God. He trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord when it was easy. He trusted the Lord when it was hard. He trusted the Lord when he was in the center of the capital. He trusted the Lord when he was on the run for his life out in the wilderness. He trusted the Lord, and it defined him. And then the second thing is this, and then you surrender to his plan. You pray this prayer, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. That's an easy prayer, isn't it? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. Now show me the way. Second thing I see in that verse is this. David embraced his personal assignment. I loved his job description. He served his own generation by the will of God. He served the Lord in his generation. Let me tell you something. You guys are being challenged to serve the Lord in your generation. And it is a huge challenge. We are going through a season in the life of this nation when it seems as though faith is under attack. When people either are hostile toward people who trust the Lord, or they're trying to kind of make their faith a very peripheral part of their lives. Y'all are going out into a lot tougher world than I went out into when I graduated from high school 5 or 6 years ago. But let me tell you this. God designed you to serve this generation. God designed you to live in a world where it's going to be more challenging to live for Christ than it has been in years past. And you are up to it. You are up to the challenge. You've just got to make that decision. I will serve my generation in Jesus' name. You're going to go out into that world. You're going to find out that the world is looking for somebody who will live with conviction, who will show the way, who will make their faith real. The world you're going into is the world God has chosen to send you into, and you're called to serve him there, wherever you are, whatever the circumstances, in your own unique way, to shine the light in a world that needs someone to point the way. No wonder Romans 8:37 says this, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Now let me tell you what that means. That means as you go out to serve your generation, you don't go out to serve your generation in the name of Christ and be intimidated or afraid. It doesn't mean that you hold back and that you're careful that you don't say something that's going to make somebody mad. It says you are more than a conqueror, that you are equipped by the Lord to live for Him in a powerful way in the world in which you are going to be living your life. Remember this, God is not looking for the perfect person at the perfect moment in the perfect circumstances before He will use them. He is looking for surrendered hearts. Whatever you want to do with me, Lord, here I am. This verse also reminds me that David realized life is lived once and for all. He knew that time is not unlimited. And when you know what matters most, that has to be your first priority. So he made a commitment. I will serve the Lord starting now. I will serve the Lord because this is the time when I need to serve Him most. No putting it off to tomorrow. No waiting for a more convenient time. Let me remind you of something critical. God has given you the privilege to choose how you will spend every day. But you have to remember that every day can only be spent once. Every day that you live from this point forward is a gift from God. And you get to choose every day, what am I going to do with this time? How will I spend this 24 hours? How am I going to invest my life? But also remember this, every day you can only choose that one time how you will spend that day. And then it's forever gone. That's why Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God, help me to make wise choices every day. Jack and Aaron, you're living your lives under a deadline. A deadline for your days, a deadline for your opportunities, a deadline for God's call, a deadline for real discipleship. And God's deadline is every day. Every day. You're beginning a new chapter in your life. Your family's proud of you. Your church is praying for you. We're all expecting to see great things from you. But you decide today, I will serve the Lord. And then I challenge you. Serve your generation by the will of God. Let me tell you why it matters so much to make that commitment today. Because the next big chapter of your life is going to take place over the next 4 years. The next 4 years are going to be critical times in your life. 4 years from now, you'll be taking hold of a whole new future. You'll be asking, where do I go next? You may be finishing college. You may be settling into a chosen profession. As funny as it may sound today, you may be at the point where you're beginning to think about starting your own family. And you got to be ready when that time comes. By that time, you'll be thinking more seriously than ever about your future, about where you go, what you do, what you stand for. But I can tell you this without a doubt. I know that the next 4 years are going to determine where you go spiritually for some years to come. Let me tell you what's going to happen in 4 years. In 4 years, you will either be closer to Christ than you can imagine today, or you're going to be starting all over again, trying to find your way back to Him. I've watched it happen for years and years with graduates after graduates. Some people take hold of these next few years and they say, now I'm going to make my faith. And others will say, I think I'm going to take a vacation from Christ for a while. Oh, I'll come back later. But what they don't realize is later is going to be a lot longer than they think. Today is the day when you decide, I want to make sure my faith becomes stronger every day. Wherever I am, whatever I do, I will serve my generation by the will of God. And that's my challenge to you today. When you leave this place and move on to the next school, to the next challenge, to the next decisions, whatever you do, let it lead you toward Christ and His plan for your life. Now, today's not been a very evangelistic day, but I would never pass the opportunity up to invite you to come to know Christ Jesus. If you're here today and He's not your Savior, you don't trust Him and you don't follow Him, maybe today's the day you need to give your life to Christ. And when we stand and sing our invitation hymn in a minute, it'll be your time to come. I'll be here at the front. You come forward and say, I just want to know Jesus. It'll be my privilege to introduce you to Him. Or maybe you are saying, God's calling me to be a member of First Baptist Church. Or maybe there's another decision. As we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn, I just want to encourage you. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let me ask you to be seated again just for a moment. In just a few minutes as we conclude the service, I'm going to ask Aaron and Jack and your parents to make your way out to the lobby, because folks are going to want to come by and hug your neck and congratulate you and let you know how proud we are of you too. You guys have made a great impression on this church. You know, Jack, we've watched you grow up. Aaron, we've got to enjoy you for the last 5 years. What a blessing you both are, and I love you, and we love you. But we have another little presentation that we need to make this morning. This is a special time because we do have the Hopkins with us in the service today. I'm going to ask y'all if you'll join me up here, because we have a little presentation we need to share. This is just Joe and Suzanne, by the way. Back at the end of January, when Dr. Hopkins left us to become the president of Campbellsville University, which we both rejoice in and resent, but that's a story for another day. But one of the great things we did is we got to have a wonderful reception in their honor. Most of you are a part of that. But out of that, Sheila Davenport did something very special. If you may remember, she had a portrait of the church that you had the opportunity to sign. And then she also put together a book of photographs that she made throughout that day. And so we're going to be presenting those to you today. So, Nancy Tribble, you come first. And this is the book that Sheila put together. Now, Sheila, I'm not sure how we're going to let everybody look at it. But it's very, very special. Y'all will enjoy that. Come to Campbellsville. especially in September, huh? Yeah, that's great. And then, Daryl, you have the picture. And we're just glad that we got to present them to them. Will you join me in? And I want you to join me in thanking Sheila for putting all this together. It's been a big project. And we're excited. We're always excited when we get to honor them. And it's been a good day in God's house. We're glad we got to share this time together. So let's all stand together. And I'm going to invite our graduates and their parents, if you'll make your way out to the lobby. And we will have our closing prayer and a final song. And then you go out and let these two know how proud you are of this very special occasion in their lives. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we got to share this time. We thank you for that challenging passage in Scripture that reminds us of the challenge that is for all of us to serve our generation by the will of God, but especially, Lord, for these two. We pray, Lord, that your blessing will rest on them, that as they move into their future, that they will always know the love and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for godly homes that have prepared them for this moment. And Lord, we just pray that wherever they go and whatever they do, they will know that their church at home is praying for them and proud of what God does in their lives. Bless us, Father, as we go from this place tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.